8.
Disc 1, where it just says Ward Christensen in the first BBS, and I just let Ward go at it for 10 minutes. Where
right.
He's just saying, here's why I invented X modem, because it was the exact stuff. He needed a copy of CPM, so he wrote a program to take each disk sector, which was 128 bytes, and blow it onto a tape, so he could then pull it off of the tape and put it onto his machine, so he could have CPM, because he didn't have an OS for his machine. They needed one, and the disks weren't compatible.
Right. So he just, okay, that's what you're saying. He just, so he kind of wrote his own routine to be able to pull that data off and use it himself.
Yeah, audio-wise. He just made it blow audio.
Right.
And this is the kind of stuff this stuff just flows out of him for like the 5 hours,
right.
You know? And so that's the kind of stuff that's going to be amazing, yeah.
Also, you're pretty much going to be working on this well long after this is, you know, DVDs.
Yeah, I suspect I'll be doing interviews, actually. I'll actually probably be doing a few more interviews because there are people I wanted to...
Oh!
What?
The post is fascinating. Look at it. Pretty nice. Alford, 80. Sailboats! Sailboats!
Okay.
It's like Star Wars, except Yoda's retarded.
Two outboard, big outboard boats. I want to really go.
Is he asking me a question or is he just being stupid?
I don't know. I can't understand him.
Hey, Beav. Are you on IRC right now?
I don't even know my car, buddy.
No,
laptop, computer is out of here.
Yeah, I'm on.
I saw two boats go by, though.
Oh, boy. Let me look at that.
Yeah.
Here, hold on. Right,
how's it going, Sketch Guy?
It's going great.
This is ABC Booze.
ABC Booze, my man, my pre-orderer.
Hey, what's up, man? So, I made that Slashdot submission tonight. I hope it didn't catch you off guard.
Oh, you're the guy?
Yeah, if you check out Prophetic Truth, the email will point to my Gmail.
Hey, you bastard! You've made me $3,000 in one night. How could you?
Right on, dude. That's awesome.
I got fucked with a previous slash dotting, and I went with a really good host, DreamHost. And DreamHost doesn't, like, the previous place, I went down, like, my host with them went down, and I'm like, oh no, I ran out of bandwidth, here's more money, and they take my money. And I go back, and I call up, and I'm like, you know, it's been an hour, where have you, you know, where, hello? And they say basically, oh, yeah, you're taking too much bandwidth, so we turned you off. And so I then proceeded to try to... Yeah, I spent about an hour with that guy on the phone trying to show him a level of hell. And anyway, so I went with a new place, and I'm like, look, I'm going to eventually get Slashdotted. Is that going to be a problem? And they're like, no. So they've been holding up pretty well, and everything's been offloaded onto that, and people are pulling down the trailer, and they're grabbing copies of, you know, images and stuff, and it's all working very well. You may cause a kink in the back channel. The rest of the, like, I paid for a special next day drop shipment of all the pre-orders, but I didn't. Like, they're supposed to truck me the rest, so there may be a little bit of a delay for some people getting their copy.
No.
Just a little bit. I mean, I'm actually gonna have some drop ship tomorrow to cover some of the orders tonight, but there's gonna be some, I mean, there's just no way to avoid it. There's just too, you know, I mean, I've gotten way too many orders as it is, and it starts to become an actual financial hit. Because I'm paying for, you know, whatever, two-day air for boxes when I'm already paying for a truck. But that's a classic back-channel problem. But, you know, that's the kind of problem that people like to have. oh no, yeah. I've got so many orders, I have to wait for the truck to arrive with the rest. So I'm not bothered by any of this. And you know, the important thing is the word gets out, and when you get on the Slashdot, it's actually kind of weird, because Slashdot cuts across, like, one of the things people don't understand is, they go, oh, Slashdot, Linux head geeks who like Star Wars too much. And what they don't realize is, actually, it's more like, it's like a couple, like tens of thousands of computer people who cut across all these different, you know, social groups and stuff. So suddenly, what always happens, this is what happens, right? First I get hit with Slashdot, bam, it's like a big punch in the face. 10,000 people visit in one night, clang, it hurts, ow, mom. And then, about a day later, this little wavelet happens, and then it's all this goofy shit, right? It's all like www.netheads and you know, weasellovers and .com and whatever, you know, like all these really weird little sites who are like, dude, I just read this. And then there's the third boomlet, where the press shows up. Because the press are scumbags, and they go and they look at other places like Slashdot and go, oh, they reported on this. It must be a story. Hi, I'm with the newspaper, and I'm too lazy to get off my ass, but I browse Slashdot. Will you be my story? And so then you go and you get interviewed by them, and they cause a little smaller boomlet because nobody reads the fucking paper they work for.
Right.
But it's good press, and it's kind of cute and whatever, and it's good, you know.
I mean, it doesn't hurt you, so...
No. No, my biggest problem is making sure people are aware of this project. That's the biggest number one problem I have. Because people will know. I mean, it's kind of hard to... It's like, there is a certain segment of the population, you go, 7-hour BBS documentary, and they're like, where, and they're just swiping their car randomly in the air. And then there's other people who are like, goodbye! You know, see ya, that's nice.
Right.
And people respond pretty reflexively to one or the other. They go, a BBS documentary? You're kidding me. And they go and they look, and there it is. And then the other group goes, no way, I don't want a piece of that. So the key is you have to reach as many of those people who would want to know about it. And a lot of people use BBSs. You know, I mean, I'd like this thing to be, it's meant to be an introduction to bulletin board systems, but it's not meant to be a pablum spooning into your mouth introduction to bulletin boards. It assumes you kind of know what a modem is.
Right.
Like, it wants you to, you know, it's just like, but actually there's a feature I added on the first episode and the second episode. If you put on the subtitles, mm-hmm. There's a non-technical subtitle track that explains to you what they're saying. With things like, you know, oh, this, you know, the point that they're trying to get across here is that computers were very slow back then. Or my favorite, which is, you can ignore this part. Because
that'll be like the second or third thing I do is turn that on just to watch
my answers.
Yeah, the non-technical answer.
Who here watches that Gator show? The guy that wrestles Gators?
Gator wrestling? It took you that long to come up with that creative idea? Gator.
Yeah, I mean, that's the next last idea. You get the Gator wrestler on a PBS or whatever you're talking about. Jack Tanner or whatever his name is?
That's who we're talking to right now.
Really? Jack, how's it going? How do you wrestle with Gators?
It's like Droops' retarded brother.
So we're going to see this thing on like a...
Where are you going to do this on? Live location? See that flat top load up? I want to come watch you Gator wrestle.
Oh, the quality.
Okay. So it's not going to be on a TBS kind of thing anytime soon, I suspect.
A lot of people ask that, and the answer is I don't really see a point.
Right.
Jay Wrestler is America's pastime. You watch that Jay Taylor, and man, how can you not have him on TBS?
Sir, you are in Gator.
Yeah, buddy.
There's the comeback of the year. Boy, aren't you one big old bright moon pie, aren't you?
I don't understand. You watch that guy on PBS. He's the greatest thing since fucking sliced bread. That guy with our Gators, he had like total info for fucking my arm. You say that shit off your PBS, nobody be watching that. We'll be going back to Bonnie Bubble revivals and shit.
Are they giving telefreak cards to the homeless again? Is that what's going on?
I think that's what's going on.
Here's a slice of bread, here's a diamond, here's the number to telefreak. People who will listen to you.
Actually, if I could locate this guy's channel.
I think I just got him.
Oh, you did?
Phone!
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll find out. If the subject suddenly switches back to Gators, we'll know.
Yeah.
Gators. I love moron. The short answer is I don't particularly like TBS. Hey, you missed him. Keep spraying.
Did you miss him good?
All I want to do after I come home from now until day work is drink my fucking Miller Lite and watch Gator Wrestling. And now you goddamn cocksuckers got to take it on my PBS.
God would say it's better than roaches. Roaches don't make that noise when they crawl across your kitchen floor.
No, it's playing whack-a-mole here. That's what it's about.
It really is like...
Don't hit the...
No,
it's
SIP channel 13999.
Yeah,
he's already got
them,
I think.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Ah! Anyway, yeah, no, so I don't go out of my way. I mean, you know, you used to go, you went to these cable channels and let them totally take control of your product because you wanted it to be seen.
Well, you gotta go out of your way. You gotta get the next Gator. The next Gator could be everything. It could be like, boom, Gator Talk. There you go, Gator Talk FM Radio. What a under the Gator.
Oh, it's like a bad perfect
best Gator Talk.
You know, the Rams have this problem.
Actually, they do, don't they? Gators.
No, you go down there to Miami, you don't hear much about Gators. But you go farther down there, you hear all about.
Gotcha.
Hey, can you pull his channel stuff so we can blacklist it?
Yeah, sure, I'll go ahead and blacklist him for you.
Okay, thanks.
Did he cast VPN to the bridge?
More, what do you think? Did you hear that guy? I'm thinking he probably did.
Zap caller here. Database. Alright. Hopefully we won't have to hear about Gators anymore.
I'll go ahead and drop it now.
Okay. Goodbye. That's better.
That was great. That's okay. I was able to sign a few more DVDs here.
Are you going to sign them all?
No. People request it. It gets signed. But I don't like to assume people want my fucking signature all over the back of their brand new DVDs they just paid $50 for. I vandalized it. I tagged my own shit.
Yeah, so the whole PBS thing isn't... I could see also where that'd be really not probably not a very good documentary for them in the first place.
Like, both, you mean for the channels?
No, for PBS. I don't think it would really work for them anyway.
I don't know. Well, I'm okay. What, like,
it is very
hard for me to objectively look at these things anymore. Like, I'm screwed. They were definitely meant to be together. They were meant to all be one, you know, set of episodes, and you could go between them. And so, if one episode was lacking in too much detail, like the anti-art episode, which goes pretty heavily into anti-art, it kind of assumes that you kind of understand what DBSs are, which you would, of course, know because you had previously seen one of the other episodes.
Right.
I don't know how well they stand on their own, and so obviously they're not going to run 5 hours on this thing. And it's not designed to be an episode series. It doesn't have, you know, Matthew Lesko or James Burke going, yes, and so BBS is realistic. And there's no speaking. One of the things that people find kind of unusual about this thing is that there's no speaking narrator.
Mm-hmm.
It's just people talking on top of other people. You know,
so
one person comes up with an idea.
So you don't hear you asking questions or anything? It's just
no, well, you sometimes do. Like, very, what's the word?
To make sure that they know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I mean, you'll hear something where I'll like, ask a question where I'm like, you know, so, would you ever do this again? And they go, yes, I would.
Yes, I would. I'll give them gators. I'll gator them. I'm still not fucking alive.
Damn. It's like Black Fly. Can't get rid of it, man. Get your nose, get your... And just shut up, you dumb fucking rhubarb out of the fucking... Who gives a fuck about your shit? How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How's that? Is that good? Can I speak his funny moon language?
Well, I think Jid's probably going to... You got a channel on that, didn't you?
Yeah, I got him.
Was he a different number?
Yeah, but he's still calling in on the same channel. So, bye-bye.
We're just mute him and let him talk and think he's talking in the channel next time. If he comes back.
No, he was unmuted the whole time. I just dropped it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just saying I joined. It's Marcus.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Hello!
Hey.
So, yeah, no, I oh, boy, hold on. Oh, yeah, that's the sound of quality. We may just be hearing about gators again.
Could be.
That's the best part. People coming in and you're going, so you're not here to talk about gators, are you? Because we're all gatored out here. Please don't bring up the gator and stuff.
Damn, the gator! Yeah! Go gators! Damn gators!
Man, that's a man with a mission.
A boy with a gun.
Yep.
I got some bad news, guys.
What?
It appears that the first chip of that holds the ROM in my Atari Falcon 030 has finally failed. I'm gonna have to flash it again.
Well, I just usually just throw the whole machine out.
Come on. Can't do that. You know, I've still got the TI-99 and the Commodore 64. I mean, I don't use any of them. But it's nice to keep them.
And play with them every once in a while.
Yeah.
Every year or so.
Yeah, that's about right.
You give them little girl names.
The Falcon is the only one I keep out, so to speak. The only one I regularly use.
My dogs.
for the female voice on here. That cannot be correct.
Now that's not a very positive attitude.
You're on Telefreak. Just being realistic here.
You mean you're hedging your bet, you're playing your odds. You know, one of the stories which didn't make it into the documentary, which was discussed, was Acid had a member of their group who was unbelievable, you know, a prodigy, absolutely incredible at artwork, and they hid his information, and whenever they had a teleconference, they would call him first, talk with him, and then have him disconnect, and then continue with the official teleconference. And the reason why is because he was 12. And he had this unbelievably high voice, and they wanted to hide this fact that it was this young kid who was, you know, just kicking the ass.
Kicking butt on the scene.
Yeah, his name was Jed of Acid. And his NFO work is still in use on, like, current stuff. They still use his drawings. You know, and it's been 13, 14 years since he's drawn anything. So, I mean, that's one of those ones to me that's always very funny, because Radman always talks about how they had to protect him, you know, from the world at large. They were trying to keep their special prize away, and, you know, it was very, odd.
I never really got into the whole Angie art thing, me personally. I found it usually annoying whenever I found called him the BES, but then again, I was always, behind everybody else in modem speeds. It's like, while all my friends were going 2400 baud, I was still at 12, you know?
Yeah, I had missed out.
Up, you know, everybody go to 96.
I missed out on it, totally. But when it became, I was viewing anti-art, but when it got to, like, where there were groups, and the groups were battling and putting emags and doing all that crap, totally missed it.
I just really, this wasn't that big.
Sorry, my phone was hung up. You're talking about this kid catching gators, right?
Jesus Christ.
I'll confess that the subject has turned to gators once or twice.
You'll need to speak up, I can't hear you.
Oh, well, I was going to say that we have switched to gators once or twice, mostly just seems to be the province of very, very gay, bad men. I'm calling you out, sir. I'm outing you. I'm indicating you like the company of other gentlemen. You're a shirtless, sir. You're a puss. You know, shirtless, sir, is an actual 1905-era slang term for homosexual man.
What was it again?
Shirtless, sir.
I couldn't hear you. Somebody was dropping something.
Shirt lifter, like lifting a shirt, like lifting a dress shirt.
Oh, okay.
They go, oh, he's a shirt lifter. And that was a scandalous thing to call somebody. But yeah, that's great, man. Insult somebody now with a slang term that's been out of favor for like 100 years.
They're trying to figure out, is it a compliment? Is it an insult?
Right. What's the reference? And so, I always said that's one of the reasons I like Family Guy so much, was because at one point he called her out of my way, you foolish termagant. And I was like, termagant? And I went and I looked it up, and it was like a 1800s term for a shrewish, shrill woman. I was like, wow.
Did you say Jewish?
No. Shrewish, S-H-R-E-W.
Oh, okay.
Like rat-like. A rat-like nervous
system. Oh, right. A rat-like animal.
It's like a termagant.
Correct.
I was like, wow! You know, when a crappy animated series on Fox is schooling me, maybe it's not as crappy as I thought. So, anyway. I mean, of course, I'll take gator asshole over, like, you know, a toner.
Yeah, we get our share of those in here.
That's just, you know, that shit just gets old.
Yeah. We get our share of that in here a lot. And people who bridge up other conferences.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll bridge us in with, like, you know, some gay hotline or something. for some other conference or whatever.
Yeah, you see, some time ago, we used to love connecting up two operators. This is way back. I don't think it has...
Relay operators?
Well, you would connect to, like, zero operators. And this is, like, 85, because what happened is that if two operators connected to each other, there was an immediate facing off and fighting, like a cockfight, because they couldn't have reached each other unless somebody paid. So that meant one was making unauthorized calls without having business purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So they would start to blame each other. Oh, you made this call. No, I did not make this call. You connected to me. No, I did not. It was crazy. Because you can only get so much joy out of hooking up a Pizza Hut to a Burger King for so long.
Well, nowadays it's more about relay ops and shit like that.
Well, I noticed that for whatever reason, and I mean, I'm fascinated what caused this, but it appears that, like, nobody, like, no place gets more hell now than Taco Bell. Like, Taco Bell is just the whipping boy of the freaking hack community. Like, wow, this thing is horrible that it goes to electronics. Let's go try it on Taco Bell.
Right.
I just thought that was, you know, I mean...
At what point
does that... Not all would have been the deal.
Well, because think about it this way, okay? The freaking hacker community is full of stoners and drunks. So where's the first place you go to get stoned? Taco Bell. Sounds like a great idea because you can get it full for a low price.
Oh, see, I would say White Castle, but maybe that's not everywhere.
Ooh, White Castle? That's like, see, I live up in Manhattan, so, yeah, we can get White Castle up here, but, most places I've lived, you can get White Castle, but it's mostly Taco Bell.
No White Castle in the 904
afternoon.
Oh, shit, here's my train. I'll see you guys later.
Alright, man.
ABC Booze.
What's up? You live around the Jacksonville area?
Actually, Orange Park.
Oh, I'm not a street from you.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is Beav.
Beav, I dropped you a message on IRC the other day.
We're at... Hey, three more orders.
right on. It was on the Telefreak IRC server.
Sorry, I don't remember much about yesterday, I guess.
It was either yesterday or the day before yesterday. Somebody was telling me that I just lost my job, and somebody said you might be able to pull some strings.
Ooh. Kind of hard, man.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd really be able to help you out very much there.
True. Yeah, I just lost my job at a small IT place here in Orange Park.
Oh, right on. Well, that's too bad, but I don't think I could really help you there.
Cool.
Things are tough all over, man.
Yeah, I know, especially in this town. Go to, like, work source or unemployment office or something.
Yeah. Third or fourth guy from 904 that called in.
Talked to Dayless?
I didn't sound familiar.
I hope you get him and cut him alive.
He's in 904
also. Does he work for Comcast?
No. I think he's doing, like, small contract jobs.
Right on. No, then I don't think I'm probably talking to him.
The last one was installing Cisco equipment in Target. So I don't know why they need Cisco equipment in Target, but...
Yeah, like everywhere else, man. They need networks, too.
Yep.
say, Jason, don't you do primarily admin work?
Say it again?
When you're not doing, making documentaries, you do primarily admin work, don't you?
Yeah, I'm primarily a Unix admin.
Alright. I thought so.
A little bit of Windows work as needed, but pretty much Solaris, FreeBSD, SUSE, and we used to do AIX, but we got away from it. We have a lot of VMS.
No way. No, you don't. Really?
What?
Do you do a lot of VMS, or do you do a lot of VMS work, or?
I don't personally do a lot of it. I work on VMS boxes to do other things, because a lot of the environment is in VMS.
Right,
don't you just love DCL?
Yeah, actually,
At one point, my job, where we hosted in Medford, Massachusetts, we were the largest collection of DEC equipment, of, you know, VAX equipment outside of the government.
Wow, it's just a lot of equipment then.
So that, you know, like, the guys who I deal with, or some of my coworkers, are, like, hardcore, you know, DEC VMS guys.
Yeah, I think I probably told you this before, but I run a Death Row Open VMS cluster, and we get people like Dave Canner and Hoffman and all these other names that, you know, 99.99% of the world have no meaning, but they're just really old, just crazy, insane death guys who are just VMS gurus, and they come and hang out because they run a VBS primarily about open VMS, so they get on there about every day. It's kind of fun.
Yep. Well, no, there's a real emotional attachment.
No, there really is. Really is. I really don't have that much emotional attachment to it. I just like it. There are some of these guys who are just so hardcore into it that they can see no reason why to use anything else. Everything else is a toy, basically.
Right.
But I'm not so much that way. I actually do Unix work. I'm an admin in some programming. So I just run the damn thing because it's fun. Stops becoming fun, then I'll stop doing it.
So B,
I have to turn away every once in a while because if somebody mails me and I don't mail them back, that's it. They're screwed for the next day and a half. It's like totally whack-a-mole right now. You know, the best thing I love about Slashdot, right, is that I work really hard to make this website go like, so you don't know what it is, here, you need to see what it looks like, here, you need to get a trailer, here. And people just post shit, they're like, is there a trailer? What's it about? And it's like, wow. You can't even move the mouse up to the top of the screen and click on the link.
Button. You can't even...
Well, I mean, that's all part of Slashdot.
Yeah,
you know?
Read the fucking article.
Yeah, that's pretty common, though.
Yeah, the people who don't read, and then you got the GNAA and all them going nuts, and crap floods, and... I mean, it's really quite like the internet in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a miniaturized version full of some people who know what they're talking about, but mostly just morons.
Just wading through a sea of crap.
That's actually putting it very well.
So you get a shitload of emails tonight, Jason?
Yes.
Oh, you don't have to respond.
Luckily,
you don't have to respond to that bees guy, by the way.
Well, that's why I came on here.
Oh, okay. No,
I came on here like
I was on IRC and somebody had mentioned, hey, they just mentioned in BinRev it got shipped. I was like, no way. Cool. So I thought I'd shoot the line, see if it was just a wild rumor or whatnot.
Yep. And it's not a rumor. Mr. ABC Booze has made me a happy man. Now I am just...
I'll probably put it in the 80s BBS list a little bit later, too.
Well, the 80s BBS... You know, I was talking to Quag about this, and I decided that Digital Avatar's message, in which he implied that I was committing fraud and was intending to run with the money...
I remember that. I responded to
that.
Yeah.
Is the single most offensive thing anyone has ever said to me in my history, not involving gators.
Well, remember, I think I responded to him and saying basically that, you know, I've shot emails back and forth with you for a few years, and I was like, wow, then he's evidently single-handedly is building up the biggest scam of the last 4 years, and he, you know, has all these clips and everything. It's amazing the amount of effort he went through to create this whole scam. It's like, come on, dude, give me a break. Have you been to the website? You can see who's interviewed. You can download clips. You can, what? He's just,
It was more like, what do you call it? It's less that it was something I couldn't respond to.
Mm-hmm.
It was more just the fact that he would say it, and, you know. I mean,
right.
Up to that point, another order. At some point I was going to code my mailer so that it forwarded one copy to a CGI that would have a constantly open window that would give me a cha-ching sound.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be working and just hear cha-ching and be like, yeah! But never got around to it, and now it's too late.
It's
now I'm getting...
jackpot now.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what it's like right now. I mean, it's nice. It's nice to see all these names go by. And I haven't recognized many names here. But anyway, it was more, like, it's easy to, like, shut down all of Digital Avatar's postings. I mean, it's not a tough thing to do. He's not a very smart guy, and he's mostly good at pissing people off. It's just
Who's
a matter of...
Who's in the conference?
What?
Who's in the conference?
Who's in the conference?
Yes.
Several people.
What are your names?
We're not having roll call time.
Yeah,
yeah,
given the fact that there are 10
long.
People on, I think it's highly unnecessary. Highly unnecessary. Emphasis on highly.
Yeah, emphasis on high.
But anyways, I can understand.
No. So it was more that it was less about his stupid statement than it put. Then you had people having to go up. In other words, it's one thing. It's not hard to argue that somebody isn't, a rapist and murderer. It's a case of that you have to sit there and go, look, he didn't rape anybody. He didn't murder anybody. He's never been known to. And you're wasting everyone's time having everyone have to say the obvious. Oh, he's not stealing the money. He's not
right.
going to skip the country with his whole, X number of thousands of dollars. I'm going to go to Cancun with, $5,000 or something. skip the country. Just drop all my shit here.
I don't know, Jason. I still haven't got my DVD yet.
Really? Did you ask for an autograph?
I'm just kidding. No, I don't think I did.
Okay, then you'll probably get it within the next... day or two. A bunch went out on Sunday, a bunch went out on Monday, and a smaller bunch went out on Tuesday.
Tell you the truth, Jason, it's not even that big of an issue. I've been waiting for it. I knew it was going to take a while whenever I made the pre-order. And, I could have kept bumping up, but I really haven't worried about it.
Yeah, a lot of it now is that I'm starting to run out of my pre-order batch, which is getting pretty funny. So I'm sitting here trying to get through all the orders, and it's just, you know, like, one guy ordered 20.
Wow.
And I'm worried I'm going to have to probably tell him I have to back order him for more than, like, for 19 of them, because I can't really afford until the rest of the shipment comes in. Because he wants so many, and he wants them all signed. he's going to raffle them off.
He's going to raffle them. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he's the guy who runs SDF.LoneStar.
Oh, yeah. Free show.
Yeah. Sweet kid. His name's Stephen Jones. And he lives up in Seattle now, does really good work, has really been supportive, and he's in the documentary. And he looks like he's 11. And he's like 32. And his house is like the inside of a Mac commercial. Just immaculate, clean, white walls, white carpet, white furniture. It's creepy, but neat. And inside he's got this weird Lisp machine, this AI machine, running, like, weird programs. And he owns a Pixel Vision. So there's a picture of me at his house with his Pixel Vision camera. A little Fisher-Price video camera that recorded on an audio cassette tape.
Oh, yeah, I remember those things.
He's a member of the group of that, and he was the one who turned me on to this DVD of Pixel Vision movies. Where they shot these absolutely horrible movies using Pixel Vision. So that was just great.
Yeah, where's that at?
Pixel Vision?
The movies. Do you remember right off? Or could you just...
Let's see. Yeah, let me find out right now.
If it's something I can just Google, and I'll just figure it out. But.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just typing Pixel Vision documentary. Yeah, there we are. Dude. What do you mean? It looks like they're out. They're out? They're out of this? They sold out a Pixel Vision documentary? Oh, here we are.
Looks like a post wall for you.
So, it looks like that they're like, we can no longer get copies of this thing, we're no longer selling it, and, you know, it can be ordered directly through this place, Precious Realm. You go there and it's a fucking search page. Flip phone. They should have licensed themselves Creative Commons. Bastards. Anyway. Creative Commons, man. Last forever. That's one of my favorite lines. People are like, I'm going to pirate your game. I mean, I'm going to pirate your DVD. And I'm like, you can't. That's my favorite. They're like, yes, I can. I'm like, no, you can't.
Sorry, license.
Sorry, dude. The one thing I didn't agree with on Slashdot, someone was like, the license encourages people to copy. And the answer is, well, no. It doesn't really encourage anything. It says you may. You know. If it's all you can eat, it's really not encouraging you to gorge yourself until your stomach explodes. It's more like, don't concern yourself too much with eating too much. You know, just eat what you want.
So you're not going to have the buy it now button next to the download it now button?
It's not, yeah, download it now. I actually looked into digital distribution. I decided it was ass. It wasn't up to the standards I wanted.
Oh, and that's a lot.
I looked at
data.
There was a, there's a movie thing called The Hire by BMW Films. Do you know about this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And they, you can do digital downloading, or you can buy the DVD, and you just want to buy the DVD.
Yeah,
the digital download, it's like, it looks okay. Say it again?
I was going to say, it encourages you to buy the DVD.
Well, it doesn't really encourage you to buy the DVD, but I'm just
you're watching it, you're watching it, you're like, God, this sucks. Fuck it, I'll just buy the damn DVD.
Yeah. It, in that case, it was more like, it's pretty good, but I'd rather have the DVD, and I thought, now these are guys shooting with the best money and everything. I'm not even going to come close to the amount of money they're spending on this production. And I'm like, eh. So, you know. I ended up, So I knew digital distribution wasn't really the way to go. I'm watching all the links to my site coming from now from all these wacky places, and there's one called rhymyvale.co.uk/gaytard. It appears to be some sort of message base that just happens to call itself gaytard.
It's the crocodile guy.
Yeah, it's the crocodile guy. He's got a website.
Is that the referrer?
Yeah, the referrers. I'm just watching the referrers go by. Yeah,
those are sometimes interesting to go back and look up.
Well, what I do, actually, I have this really weird code I wrote. Nothing too complicated, but it pulls out all the referrers of the last 2,000 hits and sorts them by uniqueness and then takes out all the spammers. So I can kind of get a feel for, like, what is the most recent getting hits place. Mm-hmm. So, like, things, like, come up and rise up and then go away again, and, you know, it's kind of cool.
I always thought it was interesting because whenever I've had stuff that's been slash dotted would be to go back and see, you know, see where the story gets, as you pointed out, you know, slash dot gets it, then it kind of spreads to other websites, you know, and whatnot. And it's kind of interesting to go and see, you know, something in Spanish talking about something that you've written or that you've done. Or, you know, it's just kind of fun to see.
I see somebody called me a geek superhero. That's great. That's really funny. He's like, I hope he's got a classic hacker mentality of thinking 4 years and tons of money, only to CC license it to pay off the loans. There are no loans. Fuck loans. I'm just watching all these people come out of, like, this is what's happening now, right? People are now hearing about it through all these various places.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming in, and, like, oh, that's a good one. I'd pay up to $30. $50 is way too much. Star Wars movies are $10 a piece, and are much harder to make. And it's like, yes, do you want the cheap plastic toy, or do you want the handcrafted wooden chair, you dumb fuck? Oh, well, what do you gotta do?
Well,
I love your game. Tell you, man, flash dot at -1, man, you just, you know, whoever, you're ready just to nuke the fucking planet from orbit. Just get me in the spaceship and give me the button and I'll just do it. I call it staring into the hell mouth. It's just this black humanity. It's the worst possible, ugh. And, of course, I mean, you know, you do number -1, there's, like, a little show beforehand with all the assholes who post for the first 10 messages.
Mm-hmm.
unrelated to all the rest, and like, la, 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 kicks and tricks. And then the show begins, and actual people talk about the actual story being discussed. Oh, here's a good one. Test, et, set, test, test. All right. Oh, man. Hey.
someone opened. Hey, someone ratted me out on Telefreak. Naughty, naughty.
That's actually how I found out you were on here. I saw it.
Oh, was that it?
Yep.
Flashdot. Good old Flashdot. Can never get more than that.
Right, because I already knew about this bridge, and also jump on Bell's Lines. I'm kind of into Asterix myself. But
it's fun cool stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm calling through it right now, through a soft phone, through my Asterix box, through SIP.
Yeah, I'm actually on through my cell phone, because if I was to use my voice over IP right now, I'd be very sad. Because no amount of QoS is going to go up against the slash botting. Oh, that's good.
I think you're hosting that externally, your, the BBS documentary site.
What about it?
I thought you were hosting that externally, or are you hosting that off your T1 at home?
I'm hosting the text portion with my T1 at home.
Okay.
But it's less about that than the fact that, of course, now everyone's trickling into the other sub-sites. I'm seeing all the other sites getting raped. Oh, my God, he has 93 gigabytes of shareware. Mine.
You'll get a lot.
What's the bandwidth hit from Slashdot like, anyways?
It's actually not so bad this time around because I got some fast machines that are just eating it, and I'm running a relatively recent version of FreeBSD, so it's got better optimization for this crap. So it's actually not so bad. If you go to databarn.cow.net, you can see my two little, and you can see my T1 going through its little conniption fits. And every time you see it spike, that's somebody who goes, oh wow, this is the greatest thing ever. What a precious and unique resource. I think I'll rape it like a drug teenager. They can fucking aim a T9 at it or whatever the hell they've got in their yard and they just go crazy on me. It's like, oh, you hurt me. Ah, shit, Boing Boing just linked to me. Motherfucker.
Wgit-Boing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Boing Boing is usually good for another 10,000 hits or something. And everybody reads Boing Boing. All the digirati read Boing Boing, which means I can now expect all these other people to, Oh, they also claim that I have a collection of all the text files ever posted to a BBS. That's a great thing.
Every last one of them.
Every last one of them. Are you in it? Yes. Good old Corey. Doesn't look shit up for shit. Fact checking. You all know about Grease Monkey, right? Please tell me you do.
What?
Go look up Grease Monkey plug-in Firefox. Because it will change everything for you. It basically is a filter that sits in front of web pages and fixes them. Like, make Slashdot look less ugly. Or remove all ads. Or, there's one called Book Burrow. A filter called Book Burrow. You go into Amazon, click on the little burrow icon in the corner, and it shows you what the prices are at six other book sites.
Not bad.
It's a great thing. It totally shoots web ad content in the head, and I like that. Because we are on the cusp of a very dangerous and weird time when there are people, young people, smart people, buying into the theory that advertising is the right of the advertiser. That it is a right, that it is why you get things for free. As opposed to, we can't give it away. Anyway, there's my rant.
But don't worry, you can take me over personally with the Creative Commons license.
The other thing I have that's really important in the DVD is absolutely no menus you can't get out of. This is like my number one thing. I'm like, if you see a menu or you see a logo and you press the menu button, you get the menu.
I know.
It never goes optional.
Oh, yeah.
Not permitted.
I hate that shit.
Yeah, I absolutely hate that shit. In fact, one of the things I said to these guys, oh, look, more money coming in. Oh, what a horrible night this is. I do believe ABC Booze is still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I believe you earned me $5,000 tonight.
Sweet. Good deal, man. I'm happy,
yeah,
man. I'm you know, you put a lot of
work. You coming to DEF CON?
I don't know.
Hello.
Financial situation is kind of.
I'll be at DEF CON. I'll be at Freaknik. Yeah, I'll be at DEF CON. I'll be at Freaknik. I'll be at PumpCon. So if you're at anything,
okay. Cool.
So, dude, it's me.
But of course, now everyone else is going to go, dude, it's me. So they all get free drinks.
So you hey, I'm ABC Booze. Yeah, I'd like this suite if that's possible.
I got some inside Iggy's that I could identify myself through.
They should have let us all know on the comms.
I'll just self edit that portion to when I meet you.
Use the force, young Jedi.
Well, that's really funny. I was going to tell tell Boing Boing about the documentary, but now Boing Boing has self-serviced themselves right into my plug. I'm probably getting insane fucking hits now. Let me go see where the Yeah, I'm getting a lot of hits.
Who is that?
What now?
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Jason Scott.
Hi. Hey, what's up, man?
Hi, I like
to call him himself.
Yeah, TechCloud.com moron. That's me.
No, hey, that's cool, man. This is White Sword.
White Sword.
Hey, what's up, White Sword?
Yeah.
How's the TV?
Yeah,
I remember the first time, you know, it's a good thing I was wearing three pairs of underwear the first time I downloaded your friggin' TV onto audiothetechfiles.com. I realized that a new era was entering into techfiles.com when I...
I started a new era on techfiles.com.
The era of, wow, every file I download is going to be as big as the rest of textfiles.com was before that file got on.
I'm going to quote you on that today on my website, Jason Scott.
Yes.
Is White Sword TV is the new era of...
what a bargain.
Well, yeah.
Here's a guy talking, and yeah, he's as big as the rest of textfiles.com combined. So Microsoft anti-spyware, piece of shit.
That sucks. It says everything on my computer is a virus, so I just uninstall it.
It basically tells me that VNC is spyware, which is fine, except there's no way to tell it that, no, maybe I like to use VNC. If I was
exactly.
You guys, I'd be fucking shooting myself in the head. Like, the biggest computer company in the world has a program that automatically updates itself to tell people to get rid of your program.
Yeah, that's good.
I know.
That's a great business model
weird.
Right there.
It always pops up. I play a lot of games, and so as soon as I log on my game, it would tell me my game's a virus, or this is a virus, or that's a virus. You're like, fuck this shit. I just turned it off and uninstalled it.
Yeah, I'm almost to that point myself. I was like, well, it's whatever, but no, it's like, fuck
it. Screw that, man. Just go download a version of fucking 2005 Norton or some shit.
Well, I got Norton installed, and boy, Norton and Windows SP2, they love each other. It's like watching two roommates, one of whom killed the other's dad. Oh, look, another order. What will I ever do?
You getting a lot of hits for your documentary?
Yeah, today I am.
Well, how come?
Because ABC Booze put me onto Slashdot.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking cool.
And yeah, one more.
I've caught clips of it, and it looks really fucking good. I'm going to pick it up for me when I go to DEF CON.
Yeah, I'm hopefully giving a talk at DEF CON. I proposed a speech. It's called Why Tech Documentaries Are Impossible and Why You Have to Do Them Anyway.
Yeah.
That's the slogan. And it's about, the process by which people make these things, and that nobody thinks they're good, but we still need to make them. Because without them, you lose all this information about people and history and stuff.
I intend to watch any conferences. If you get one, I'll go. I just plan to get drunk and hit on the Hacksaw Chick girls. And film. That's all I really care about doing down there.
The Hacksaw Chick girls.
Yeah, since I work at a porn store, I got a big sign that says, Girls Gone Crazy. I'm gonna just get that and attach to Hacker Girls Gone Crazy. See if I can do a hacker version of Girls Gone Crazy. That'd be kind of funny.
Mm. Isn't that Hacksaw, that horrible little DVD that came out a while ago?
I don't know. I didn't know there was one out called Hacksaw. Ooh, the moon is red. That's cool.
If you look for HOXXXOR.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's that porno where they talk all geeky. Hey, Hacksaw my boxers, boost stupid shit. It's just hot fiction.
The exploitative hacker movie featuring girls? Well, that one will be much worse than the one I'm thinking of doing.
Which is?
Well, no, that's what you're saying, right? You're like, well, I'm going to do a Hacker Chicks Go Wild. But mine's not exploitative.
So
the difference between his and mine is none of his money goes to me. And that's a bug in the system, and I've come up with a few ways to get rid of that problem.
Well, how's that?
By just having... Anyway, so...
Oh, shit. So that's cool, man. How many orders you got out so far for your doc?
Well, in total, somewhere in the range now of 600 to 700.
Jesus Christ, man. That's fucking kick-ass.
Yep.
You know,
if I didn't have 4,500 copies coming towards my house, I'd be in a great mood, I guess.
Oh, you know if anybody's already got it pirated or anything?
What now?
Has anybody pirated already that you know of?
Well, I'm sure it's been duplicated. You can't pirate it. It's Creative Commons license.
People pirate my shit all the time. I think it's funny.
Well, I know, but you can't pirate something that's being given in such a way that it encourages copying.
Oh, okay. Well, I never see that Creative Commons thing. It's the only time I should stick out of my show, I said, I don't give a fuck.
Well, Creative Commons is basically a way for... You see, the problem is that you have... It's an interesting solution. The problem is, right, copyright law is being amended to the point until eventually you can shoot somebody in the face if they look at Mickey Mouse too long.
Yeah.
And... So the problem is people go, I don't like that. I wouldn't want my art to be like that. I don't approve of it. And then the problem is, well, then what do you use? If you release it to the public domain, then you just lose control of it, and you never see it again, and anyone can use it any way they want to, and you never get credit, and whatever. So
yeah.
The group comes up with a set of alternative copyrights. And they're basically like, you tell it in a pretty simple interface what you want, and you then get given a license. You're like, oh, I like other people to make versions of it, or, oh, I don't have any problem with people selling it, or I hope people should keep my name affiliated with it. And then it goes, oh, you have an attribute share-alike license. And put this on it prominently, and here's the here's the legal code generated for free for you for your site, and you can do it. And that's the idea behind Creative Commons. It's an interesting solution. It tries to solve the problem, right? Someone goes, dude, 2600 sucks, but
online web pages aren't the same, so I'm going to do this magazine. You know, it's propose a new solution instead of just bitching that there's no currently good solution. And so that's what they do. And I like their, I like them. They're a little weird.
Maybe
but I will
check them out.
You say it again, sir.
I think when I get off work, I'll check it out. I never really thought about it. I could care less if somebody burnt all 16 episodes and then caught them on fire.
I did not understand that, but that's okay.
I said that I wouldn't have cared if somebody burnt all 16 episodes of my show and caught it on fire.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't really, you know, I mean, you know, I'm selling it, but I'm not, man, you know, it's very refreshing just to every time I press my fucking extend button and pine, I make more money. That won't last, but man, it's an enjoyable night, I'll tell you that.
That's cool.
I'm gonna have to call my printer and say, look, I need you to drop ship me a lot of boxes, please.
You'll be hitting all the cons if you can sell all those. How much are they going for a shot?
50.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Up there with Bill Gates almost there, Jason.
You never know.
You never know.
I think that would be extremely funny.
You can literally almost beat Oprah. Then they'd call you a racist for beating a black woman in money racing. Look at Jason Scott. He had to go and beat Oprah. She's beloved.
That's right. Just taking him out. Well, I mean, I'll just be glad to be on a panel with Steve Jobs so I can call him a goat fucker to his face.
There you go. I think Steve Jobs is a fucking moron, too.
Oh, I don't think he's a moron. Morons can survive. But I certainly don't.
But he didn't survive. He quit and ran away.
He quit and ran away and started two failed companies that he made another company buy. Now, that's salesmanship.
Yeah. I don't know, man. My favorite movie with him, about him is that Pirates of the fucking Silicon Valley. That's just awesome. Have you seen that?
I've seen it. It's vaguely accurate. It's vaguely accurate in a kind of like, well, that's pleasant kind of.
Yeah, you're breaking up,
like,
bro.
Steve Jobs and Bill Gates didn't hang out all that much.
I didn't hear what you said. You broke up.
Oh, sorry. I was saying, oh, look, two more orders. It's not getting old for me yet. I'm working on it, but it's not getting old yet.
I don't think it's going to.
That's $100 right there. You just made talking to me.
Yes, that's right. Well, I mean, but the thing is, I tell people, you know, it's the second step in the, you know, make a movie ? Profit. The question was, work like a, you know, work on this quality product for 3 years.
Hey, how much money does it cost you to actually, you know, compile one of these boxes with these DVDs and all that? How much money does it cost you?
I think it's something in the range of $10, including all the original costs.
So that's a good, so $50 minus 10, you're making 40 off each box, right?
Well, 40 minus the $30,000 or $40,000 I spent on making the documentary outside of the printing costs, which were themselves what
I see. With the gas and the camera and all that.
Gas
is worth nothing.
What kind of camera did you use?
Canon XL1. I shot in mini DV because in 2001 that was probably the best camera I could get for under $10,000. I looked it up, and it was like, that was kind of the best-looking and best-sounding camera.
Yeah. Yeah, well, actually, by the way,
I should point out that of the $50, $3 to $5 of every $50 is for 4 interviews I had to sit through that you didn't. And trust me, I earned every penny.
You know what? We're willing to pay you the money for all your pain and suffering for bringing such a great documentary out.
Some of those interviews require combat pay.
Yeah.
So,
like, tell us war stories.
Oh, war stories?
Like, why was it, how was it so bad? Like, did they just kind of shut up and rant about how cool they were?
Well, no. There were people who, I travel 150 miles to interview them. I'd get there, we'd set up, and I'd go, so what do you remember, you know, like, what do you remember about the BBS? And the guy'd be like, don't know. And I'm standing there like, well, I'm not allowed to kill you. I'm not allowed to kill you in your own home, I guess.
Would you? I don't know. I'm sorry, that's funny.
There was one person, there was one group of guys, the guys who did PC board,
yeah.
Who, I was in Colorado interviewing other people of various names, and there was a, there was I basically got a hint, a communique that said, hey, it looks like you'll be able to interview these guys who did PC board. Now, if you know geography, I'm in Colorado Springs, and I get told, hey, if you just come over to Salt Lake City, Utah, you can interview them. And I'm like, okay, how far could it be? So I drove 500 miles, interviewed them, and then drove 500 miles back. So I was basically using the rumble strip as a snooze alarm.
I guess you could never get a hold of Art Bell, because I guess he used to run his own, build his own PV decks and all that stuff.
Which person?
Art Bell.
Oh, Al Bell?
No, Art. The guy from the radio?
Art Bell!
Yeah.
Holy, oh, the nut. Actually, he's not really a nut. He's more like a nut facilitator.
He is. He draws all the nuts to him.
Yeah, he's not really... He's not really himself a nut. Another great war story that, I've told before in other cases was the time when I was in Oregon and discovered the hard way that while I was away from Boston for a week, a ticket I hadn't paid came due, and my license was revoked.
Oh, that's great.
And so when I got pulled over in Oregon for driving while Californian, there was the guy basically said, your license is revoked. You can't keep driving. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, in Boston, you didn't pay a ticket. And it's like, well, what do you propose I now do? And he's like, I don't know what to tell you.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I had my car towed away.
What part of Oregon were you in?
So
I was in Yamhill County, Oregon.
Because I'm from Oregon, so my cousin.
Jason.
Yes.
Please tell me you put that like as like the snip clips or something like that in the documentary. You know, the half that I went through. That would have been awesome.
The story of it is in there, and there's photos of my car being towed away.
See, you should have put in as extra material as the retards that made you waste time.
Well, there's a, what do you call it? I try to be nice, because at the end of the day, they did let me into their homes, even if they didn't quite think out what was going on. And I should say that even the guys who didn't even know what they were going to say, after a lot of prodding, they tended to have something to say, and pretty much all of them are in the documentary, actually. There's only like two or three interviews of the 205 that aren't in the documentary. So, there's a lot of people in this thing.
That's cool.
So I'm not, you know, and I mean, I'm really not done interviewing. I'm probably going to continue to conduct interviews. There was a period of time when I was looking to doing a hacker radio show of my own. I just don't have the energy or time right now because I would go crazy on it, right? I'd go crazy on the production values. And it would just be...
Give us a microphone and fucking Kool-Aid and you're good to go.
Oh, no. That's if you're doing a standard
one, but I would be going fucking crazy. Because I'm me. I can't, look at me. I'm going to shoot a little tiny film for myself, and look what ends up happening.
And a documentary.
Yeah, you end up with a three-disc, five-and-a-half-hour film.
Yeah.
You know.
But you got on fucking, so now you're going to be the second richest world man from a documentary.
Hey, Jason, how long did it take you to, edit and compile the whole videos and all that?
Well, the process of taking the 250 hours of raw footage and turning it into 10,000 clips was about 8 months, and then it was another 4 or 5 months of assembling it.
Okay, during all this, do you work?
How often did you work on it? Like, how much, an average time, but like a week?
Oh, an average time in a week, somewhere between 60 and 70 hours.
That's not going to come in.
Yeah,
that was alongside your regular job.
Yeah, well, yeah. And the answer is, well, how did you do that? And the answer is, by really shafting my regular job. Yeah, I'm really busy right now with something. Yeah, call you back.
Well, dude, I just give you props, man, because that's like a lot of determination and hard work. Seriously.
By the end of it, it becomes kind of a monomaniacal mission. It's like you're kind of like walking blind through the snow, and you know the lodge is ahead somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was, it's a lot of fun. It was worth the trouble, I know that. When I watch it, I get a little annoyed at this and that, and then I keep forgetting I just did it alone. You know, I keep trying to compare it to other documentaries which have actual crews. Because I didn't really shoot with a crew. I didn't really have a crew. It was me. So I'm doing sound, lighting, camera, and conducting the interview, and coming up with the questions on the fly. So as a result, it's luck sometimes that the interview is even legible. So in many cases, it was more a case of just plowing through. And by the end, you know, after the first 100 interviews, I knew that I was in, you know, I was getting myself in beat. And it's actually, you know, I mean, truth be told, at the end, I mean, I thought I was pretty, you know, it came together pretty well, I thought. Like, it's a solid piece of work, let's put it that way. Like, when I watch it, there are parts of it that I just don't remember shooting. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty kind of neat. That's neat this happened. Oh, look at that. There's some footage of 2600. That's on a blooper reel. There's actually like 4 or 5 Easter eggs scattered throughout them, of course. There's like a trailer for the sequel. There's a interview with Swamp Rat of Cult of the Dead Cow. And there's a great footage of bloopers, and one of the bloopers is a guy is talking, and in the back you watch someone fall off his chair at Hope. That's my big pride.
Do you plan on like going like retail with this? Because I mean,
I'm only vaguely interested in retail because the amount of money they take out for the right to have your, you know, to show it.
I saw like the barcode on the back of the box, and I was like, wait, is he going like retail with this shit or what?
Oh, you've got a copy, do you?
No. I saw the box on the
okay.
I will be looking at Costco.
You can't be on Amazon without the barcode.
Oh, okay, I see.
And when I was getting printed, I said, do you guys have barcodes? And they were like, oh, yeah, we include barcodes. And I said, well, give me one then. And they said, okay. And that's how I got my barcode.
Whenever you print CD or stuff like that, that's a pretty standard thing as well.
Well, okay, my DVDs don't have the DVD logo on them because I hate that fucking thing. If you get it, it tells you all these rules. It can't be this. It can't be obscured. And I'm like, well, fuck you guys. You don't get on then. So there's no DVD logo. And people are like, let people be confused, and I'm like, no, I think they'll figure out this is a DVD. The first time they shove it into their Walkman and it does not work, I think they'll know it's a DVD. You know, it's like, it's just that assumption that your audience are just drooling, useless morons, which may be accurate along some ways, but it's not the way you should build your product, assuming that everyone who comes up against it will be just an idiot. You know, that's my,
so
my weird philosophy.
Like, who manufactured all these CDs? I mean the DVDs that didn't have logos. I mean, did you make them yourselves? Or that's a lot of, like, I mean, if you did, it's a lot of fucking DVDs, but I doubt that.
Yeah, basically what happened, here's what happened because of this, right? First of all, the thing took forever to do because I did it through a professional company called Bullseye Disc in Oregon. And they're good.
Uh-huh.
But there's just a lot of process to DVD. You send them a copy, and we had problems with mastering, and we had to get this thing set up and that thing set up, and it cost me an extra $1,000 because of a problem I didn't see until the end, and so on. And just kept doing this stuff back and forth, and weeks dragged into months, and it's like, they kind of want them. And so it starts to get to be, they're almost to the point that they're ready to manufacture them and assemble them and put them together and give them to me. And they're like, okay, it will be 3.5 weeks. And I'm like, maybe we could speed this up. Could you just have them send me the first 500? And I'll get these out to the pre-orders and we'll be done. And then basically their people said, okay, and they sent me the raw materials. They sent me a stack of DVD-1, stack of DVD-2, stack of DVD-3, the case, the slip cover, all of them slashed in boxes. And it's like, oh boy. And that was my weekend. And that's how I spent this past weekend, was assembling all 500.
Yeah.
And that was my, you know. Was it you who was asking about the profit margin? It's one of those things of, like, on its face it sounds like, Jesus Christ, you're jacking people. And it's like, no, really no. Because when you're paying $1.25 for a Coke, you're paying 5 cents for the crappy water in it and the can, and you're paying $1.
I wasn't asking for it. Yeah, I know what you mean. I wasn't asking for that, though. I was just wondering, you know, what company did you use and all that.
Yeah,
I was the one asking about, like, you know, the artwork and who did the design earlier, and, like, that one piece with the Shaggy and the graffiti shit. That was me.
Oh, okay. No, I was just answering the other one, because it's always funny, because on one level it sounds like I'm taking people for a ride, and then if you look at the other stuff, it's like, oh, no, actually, no. there's quite a few other costs that are in there across the 4 years. And there's a lot of stuff that this actually subsidizes. Like my new car. Actually, I don't think I'm buying. Well, actually, our current plan is to take all the money and stick it in a bank account and wait a year to find out that we didn't cross our T or something, and the IRS wants our house. So we're just holding on to the money so that the IRS can come along and just fucking take half because of X rule or Y blah or whatever shit they want to do. So, I don't know what's going to, you know, my wife wants to put all the money into the mortgage, and I'm like, boring! I want a gold hot tub. Filled with real gold. I want to hire somebody to stir the gold. That's what I want. I want to buy something really expensive and then break it to store it inside something else expensive that I break.
Yeah, I'm sure the wife's going to go for that.
Yeah, the wife loves that shit. Oh, but honey, look, it spins. An old life.
So you must be a really busy man. You're working on the damn documentary, you still got a job, and you're still managing Technophiles.com.
Well, Technophiles.com mostly runs itself, and my podcast project, which I've been working on the side,
I've had to hold for a moment because of this work, which is where I'm downloading all these podcasts. I'm downloading gigabytes and gigabytes and gigabytes of podcasts. I'm not doing that right now because it'll eat the T1 line, and that T1 line is currently making me some dollars. In fact, I'm sure in the other room right now I'm making dollars. You know the old rap band EPMD?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it stands for Eric and Pauly Making Dollars. They kind of stopped telling people that after a while. Cold-hearted thing. What I tell people, in case someone's come on recently, is that I try to do the best in every phase of the project. So when I interviewed people, I made sure to interview a lot and interview them well. And when I manufactured the DVDs, I made sure it had the best artwork I could put on it, and it had the best look and everything else, and that it was edited. And now that I'm in the selling phase, I have to be the fucking pimp. I mean, I've finished it. It's a good product. I believe in it. It's good stuff. It stands on its own. It's Creative Commons licensed because I'm just going to hold myself to that moral standard of making it available to people who wanted it, who couldn't afford it, because they could still learn from it. But I'm also going to sell it, and I'm going to sell it aggressively, and I'm going to sell it hard, and I'm going to interview everywhere and get on as many places as possible. And it's not because I'm a sellout commercial whore, fuck, attention, fuck, whore, which would be the normal, I think, term used. It's more just, okay, we've now invested $50,000 in this, and I'm going to make that back. And if I can make a lot more than that back, great. But I'm going to make it so that at the end of the day, I didn't crucify myself on a stone for no good reason, simply because I was afraid to tell people this is a good documentary. Because it's a good documentary. It's a good 8 documentaries. 8 documentaries. I used to list them for people, and I gave up because I couldn't remember all the names. That's a sign you've made perhaps too big a project. So,
well,
wow, look at,
I think, I don't know. I don't think it's too much to ask to make a little bit of money off of it, and especially not too much to ask that you get your return on it.
Yeah, I mean, no, hey, look, I'd love to make $1 million. I just don't think that it wasn't my primary reason for making the documentary in the first place.
Right.
So it doesn't reflect that, you know.
But, I mean, now you're in the selling phase, and if that happens, then great. I mean, no point, I mean, it wasn't the point of the documentary. If you make money on it, great. More power to you, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's necessarily selling out. I don't know why necessarily making money has to be such a bad thing.
It depends, I think, where people see it. For instance, if people see somebody joins, like, say somebody turns around and tries to monetize Telefreak,
mm-hmm.
right? People look at that as kind of a betrayal because they were using it in this way as part of their community and stuff, and now someone's turned around and put a gate toll in front of it and said, I'm going to take the brand name that you helped build up and help me test it, and I'm going to make money off it. And you
right.
see the anger, even if it's justified.
Right.
Well, even if the whatever, that's just what people do. It used to be free, and now it's not. For instance, I'm never going to monetize textfiles.com. In fact, this year I'm probably going to start a nonprofit foundation to own textfiles.com so I can take donations tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
And then move textfiles.com out of my goddamn basement and host it at a number of servers that trade off loads so that way you get, you know, you get your text coming to you at maximum speed. But we don't want you to really load that, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to have that 2K text file document clogging up everything. But it reminds me of, like, whenever I heard a, you know who Henry Rollins is from Black Flag? And he's playing bands like that, and don't know if you're familiar with him. But he talks about, you know, touring as a band, and of course they were selling, they had records out, and he would hear people, you know, say, God, he's such a sellout now, but in actuality, they didn't know that he was living in a van, you know, a small black van, driving around the country, and just because these people, you know, saw that he was selling goods, or they could go to a record store and buy, well, of course this was like pre-DVD or pre-CD days, you know, they would see his name everywhere, oh, he's such a sellout now. But he wasn't
right.
making any money at the time. but he's been, he was just talking about, I used to crack up at that, you know?
Yeah.
It's a sellout. But I mean, there's nothing, this wasn't like something that you put out there and you said, this will be free for everyone, here it is. I mean, you put your work into it, so I don't think,
right.
It's your deal. You make money off of it, great. I don't see why that would be a bad thing either.
Part of it was I created Commons license kit to remove that moral whatever. You know, to remove that sense of like, you have, the only reason you're giving me money is because I can put you in jail for X number of years for copying my movie.
Right.
I don't like that. I mean, and it's kind of fun on Slashdot. I was watching little arguments, you know, some people saying, oh, I can't wait to BitTorrent it, and other people saying, you don't BitTorrent, he's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I'm not a very nice guy, but I'm a dedicated guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did finish it, which makes my project better than a lot of them. Because it's actually finished. But you know, I mean, I see that argument. People like, you know, I mean, the $50, you know, I have a big problem where if you can gain the exact same experience from a digitally downloaded thing that you get from that, then I consider that a failure on the part of the person generating the product. Because there's ways to generate the product such that the download only gives you a small piece of the story.
Right.
But it costs more. I mean, this is an 8-panel digipack. And what that means is it looks like a 4-panel pamphlet that has three discs and an extra gatefold thing to give you the name of it and credits. And, you know, it's all printed in full color and they're in full color and they go in a beautiful slipcase and so on. So there's all this additional stuff on that level. And some people, they're like, well, that's still not worth $50 to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather download it, I'll get the same experience. And that's great. That's what they do. I mean, some people standing outside the baseball stadium is its experience equivalent for them of paying money to sit inside.
Right.
And going after them isn't going to make them go, you know, you're right, I really enjoy being inside more. You know, they're gonna do what they want to do, and you can't sit there and get so fucking greedy. You're like, no, any potential revenue that may come in from any place ever is mine. Like, I think when the Major League score, that was one of the ones that fucking killed me. Yahoo for a while, when Major League Baseball was reporting shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yahoo had people who would watch the games, and they'd type in the scores. And Major League Baseball sued them, saying, no, those scores are our copyright.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, you dumb fucks.
Right.
You know, if it's the transposition of specific numbers that represents your total cost-worthy product, you're fucked. You shouldn't even be in business. So it's like, you know, that kind of short-sighted thinking. I don't want that. I want it that people are downloading my shit and just trading it because they don't pay for this stuff. Or they can't. I mean, when I was 19, 18, 17, and my dad was giving me an allowance that was roughly equivalent to the amount of money I needed to eat,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't go and buy some $50 thing.
Right. There's
so of course I would download it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and go, but you guys, no, you can't learn about this stuff. And those are the people I want to know about it the most.
Now, I remember you said a while back at some talk, I can't remember, somewhere, and you said that you wanted Techfiles to become aware again.
Yeah, that's very good. That's 1999.
Yeah, it was. I downloaded it or something and listened to it.
Oh, okay.
And,
that's like 6 years ago.
Yeah. Anyways, and so do you have pretty much the same feeling about this, you know, the DVD set and everything? Do you want it to become, like, aware?
Well, I expect it will. I mean, to the people, you know, I mean, it's like, to the people who
some people will watch it. What I'm
saying is it what would you want it to be considered like aware, like as you're saying about text files?
I mean, I guess I'm saying I don't mind it being aware. I mean, first I'd love to make money from it, but I will not make money from it at the expense of its life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I will not say, I want this thing to make me money to the point that I won't let it live outside of making me money.
Right.
That kind of short-sighted.
Well, and it is also just the point back, it's going to be living outside of you making you money anyways.
Well, I mean, there's also, one could argue, of course, that what this does is this increases my cred, right, my reputation,
mm-hmm.
which means that things that I want later in life, I mean, one of the things that happens now that's very important to me is people come to me with these precious old collections of text and go, you have to have this. You're that guy.
Right.
So I'm not going out, like right now I go onto eBay, and I go on to a lot of auctions, and I buy old shareware CDs and then put them on textfiles.com, on cd.textfiles.com. I do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I'm like, this has to be saved, and these people don't see that value along that line. But I get people who are like, here's my old collection. I used to be a big pirate. Here's 500 discs. And you need to have my collection because you'll do something right with it because you're that guy.
Right.
So I think that'll continue. I think those kind of things will continue, and you can't really put a price on that. And doing work like this, people go, oh, you know, it's that guy. He'll know what to do with my project, or we want his consulting. I actually just got called up by somebody in the community, who I'm sure don't want their name, but they're working on a book, or thinking of doing a book, and they just said, well, what's your thoughts on publishing? You know, what do you think about it? And so I told them what I thought, and what you need to do, and so on. So so people are calling me on my cell phone to ask me my advice. That's
right.
Kind of fun.
And as you pointed out, I mean, for future projects that you want to do, whenever people are, you know, kind of wary, they go, oh, wait, oh, okay, I know that guy. He's done that documentary. He's run textfiles.com. They don't have to worry
about that. Yeah, that's actually what got me in the door on a lot of the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after the first 80, you know, the 60 to 80 range, I had people who were like, I'm not really interested. And I'd come back a year later, and I'd go, okay, well, look, I've been doing it for a year. Here's 80 interviews. And they'd go, oh, okay, yeah, I guess you better interview me. I better get on the fucking bus.
Because
the bus is coming through my town, and I better jump in. And, I mean, there were some people, it was a major headache to get them to agree. Some people, you know, months would go by and they wouldn't talk to me, and then they'd go, yeah, okay, if you're in town, interview me. So that happened quite a bit.
Right.
And more than once, actually one of my favorite ones was Frank Genyon, who I contact him, and he writes back, I would like, it sounds neat, and I'd like to be interviewed by you, but you may be a prank brought on by my friend because I really got him good. And I'm like, well, here, go look at this website and go browse through these pictures. He comes back, like, you know, 4 hours later and writes me and says, well, if you are him getting back, you did more than enough work to... turn getting back at me. So you can, so for like the first bit of interviewing him, he was just waiting for me to, like, I don't know,
like,
without a stripper or a pie or something, I don't know. It was just one of these, like, okay. So his was one of my favorites, and that happened. People go, oh, you're honest about this. You're actually doing this.
Right.
Like, yes, I am, in fact. So that has happened, and, you know, I mean, I guess on some level this gives me some vague amount of rather bizarre celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting to deal with in the next. I've always enjoyed my level of celebrity because it's always been like, oh, he does that little site. That's cute. it's not like, oh my god, we're going to stop traffic, or we're going to find out where he is and fuck with him, or whatever, or he's the father of my child kind of shit. That's what I need. The kid is not my son. But I don't expect that kind of level of shit to happen. But, you know, it'll be interesting that people will recognize me more and stuff. There's actually very little of me in the documentary. You only see me in a window once. And you see me in the trailer, the fake trailer for the sequel. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of me. Two pictures of me. So I guess I'm in the credits too. I forgot about that. But I'm not in the movies. I didn't think that was right. Mm-hmm. So I'm not in the movies. But, it'll be good in the future. I don't know. Maybe I'll be invited to speak at stupid events that include Esther Dyson and people from Wired and all that shit.
Well, it's going to be fun either way, so.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't care. I'm hardly bitching. It's just really funny. In fact, let's go back and see how much money I've made while we've been talking. I've been over here autographing DVDs so that they can go out with tomorrow morning's mail. The mail post office.
DVDs.
What?
I said, how many people requested autographed DVDs?
I did.
About 80.
Okay.
About 80 or so. Nothing crazy. Let's see. The answer is... Give me a dollar. Two! That's it! Boy, it's getting late, isn't it? 3 a.m, that's why.
They'll probably pick up tomorrow morning because the people get up.
Oh, yeah, when the business world hits?
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to hurt.
This is crap.
Yeah, you have to really seriously stay on top of this stuff, because it's going to just swamp me. Actually, it's already swamped me. I mean, already, we've far outstripped the amount of stuff that I have locally, and tomorrow morning, I'm going to have to call up the printing company and make them FedEx me additional boxes to mail out with this set. And this is of one night, right? This isn't like the rest of it.
Yeah,
so
all day tomorrow afternoon, you're going to be getting it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
But I'm sure you're not complaining, so.
No complaints here. Well, I mean, you know, you make your bed. You get, I mean, I hate that. I hate that when people put up a website and the website gets hit with a lot of people and they go, no, that's wrong. It's like, shut up. Don't put up a website.
Right, exactly.
I'm selling a product. Don't bitch about the fact they're going to lift it all. There's somebody in Japan who wants a copy. That's great.
Do you charge extra for shipping overseas or not?
I mostly do. Like $8, I think it is. Mm-hmm. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare to ship overseas. It's like you got to fill out these forms. The general rule that my friends told me, because I consulted with some friends, is you should assume that you only make half of what you make locally because of the bullshit, the chargebacks, the fraud, the stupidity. He also told me a really, really, really funny rule of thumb. In Kagi.com, you can define which countries don't get automatic confirmation. You have to say, yes, I approve the sale.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, just choose every major oil-producing country. It was just really funny. He was like, you know, Russia, you know, Kuwait, you know, just don't automatically accept their oil, their orders, because generally they fuck you over.
Yeah, actually, that would be interesting to see what kind of chargebacks and stuff like that come around.
Yeah, because Kagi eats you bad. Eats you really bad.
for chargebacks. I mean, I'm talking like you lose like $20. It's really bad. That's just the way it works. But on the other hand, they give you all these other things. You know, they'll do all of the currency transfers for you. They'll handle California tax because they're in California. They'll do all these things for you.
Right.
That work out for you.
Have you
so,
had to, sorry.
No.
I smell like shit sometimes. I don't think so.
Have you had to deal with any fraud or anything so far?
No, not yet. But you know,
why don't you not consider doing the fraud thing? That would be evil, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be mean? What?
Why don't you what? I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, why don't you not consider doing the fraud thing? You know, that's mean, isn't it?
What, the frauding?
Yeah, isn't that mean? To defraud somebody? Isn't that, like, bad?
Well, I mean, but their entire country is based on fraud.
How come you're so quiet?
Like, what, generally?
Yeah. Weren't you just talking about something?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Continue. I'm sorry.
I can hear you fine. I don't know. Go, Jason.
Hey, is somebody like has access to the internet right now? Does anybody have the access to the internet right now? That's a pretty stupid question to ask, huh?
Cute.
Can you go to wired.com and tell me if there's like an article on it?
On a what? What kind of article?
Just an article. Just tell me what the first article is.
The first article is iPod plug-in sets music free.
Okay.
And
I was just wondering, that's all.
Fan slot to Firefox Flick.
No. It's not on there yet.
Now, what would you possibly post it?
What? I don't know. Something is going to get posted on there. I just wanted to see if it was on there yet.
I don't know.
There's a lot of people on this conference, huh? Hi, everybody.
There was a lot of people. I think right now there's...
I didn't hear anybody hang up.
I think we got a lot of people just being quiet.
Yeah, I like to lurk.
So what's your name? What do you call yourself? Yeah.
ABC Booze.
ABC Booze?
That's right.
Hi.
Hello.
There's like 10 people on it now.
Are you naked right now? ABC Booze, are you naked? 9.
What?
Are you naked?
Who's this?
This is not...
Nobody wants to know if you're naked, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure wants you to... We'll just call him
are you naked right
naked
now, dude?
Guy.
Yeah, dude, get naked
guy.
Right now. Get naked, dude. It's so much fun. Haters. Hey, man, I'm sitting here naked right now, scratching my fucking balls, dude.
Yeah, okay, haters. You know, there's a guy with a gator who wants to meet you.
Oh, really? That's mean. That's very mean of you. You know what? You're a fucking dirty pig. Shut the fuck up. How's that sound? Idiot.
Hey, Jason?
So yes.
You're going to be selling this thing for a pretty good while, I imagine, huh?
Yeah, and tell everyone out.
Oh, then you're going to call it quits? Or are you going to order more? Or I guess it's all
I don't know. I mean, you get down to a point where it's like, okay, does it make more sense and to order more or so on? And I suspect after a while I'll, I suspect it'll just go into what a lot of these do, you know, to become like a kind of abandonware.
Right.
Where people just trade it, and that level of noise is now sufficient.
Hello? Anybody there?
I mean, I think it's going to be a couple of years before that happens.
That's fine, hope.
See you.
Hey, listen, I'm going to actually go because it's late. And enjoy talking to everyone.
Sketchcal, man, I wish you the best of luck, dude.
Well, thank you, and be sure to claim your ABC booze next time you see me.
All right, man.
Hey, here's a running joke. I'm ABC booze. No, I'm ABC booze.
Hey, Jason, I'll talk to you later. We'll get talking to you, man.
All right.
Yeah,
talk to you all later.
Talk to me. All right. Bye.
Oh, well, it's getting about that time for me, too.
Is that Beav?
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah.
So,
it's late for me on a weeknight.
Yeah, it's late. I gotta go sometime tomorrow. I'm still closing up the shop and packing stuff up, so I don't have to be there.